Hello and welcome to the Thursday night Nationwide Gospel Call. My name is Brother Austin Wiggins. I am the preacher from the Vider Church of Christ here in Vider, Texas. Tonight we have a gospel message lined up for you by the person of Brother David Lillard. David Lillard. Brother Lillard is the preacher for the Church of Christ in Kirbyville, Texas. And Brother Lillard has his Bible open to the book of Luke, and I want you to do the same. Open to Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. And anticipate a lesson entitled, Where Does Jesus Sit? Where does Jesus sit? From Luke chapter 14. So without further ado, Brother Lillard, I turn it over to you and tell us, where does Jesus sit? Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, Austin. I appreciate that introduction. Hopefully my humor is as good as you say. Regardless, what we're going to be talking about this evening is something that's deeper and much more valuable than any jokes I might be able to offer up. And it all deals with the idea of where are you sitting? For instance, right now, as I'm talking to you, through this call, the number of us that are listening are sitting in all sorts of different chairs and different places. I happen to be in an office, sitting in a nice, comfortable office chair. You may be in your bedroom lying down, or maybe you're in the living room in a recliner, or maybe you're listening as you're driving in the car chair. But regardless of where you're at, we're all sitting somewhere. We're all taking the opportunity to enjoy this time to talk about spiritual matters. And I know if you've listened to some of these calls before, that as a speaker, I appreciate greatly you taking the opportunity to step out of your busy schedule and to focus on spiritual things and spiritual matters. Because if anything, this tragic news that happened recently reminds us, as Austin said, is that sin does exist in the world. And so it's good for us to focus on the eternal, focus on things that last. And so if you do have your Bibles, if you will open them up to the Gospel according to Luke, this is in the New Testament. It's the third book, and it's giving us an account of the life of Jesus. And in chapter 14, Jesus has been invited to a dinner at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees. This was a group of the religious elite. These were those who knew the law. And so he's been invited as a guest. And while he's there, we're going to be focusing on what happens in verses 7 through 11. It says, Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, When you're invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he, who invited you both, will come and say to you, Give your place to this person, and then you will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, Friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who are at this table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. When I talked about at the beginning of where we're sitting, where we sit matters. Even as a society, where you sit says something about who you are. Think about the fact if you were invited to a wedding, what seat do you sit at? Do you sit with the bride and groom? Do you sit with the family, or do you sit off to the side? When you go to a concert, what seat is most desirable? I don't know about you, but whenever I've had the opportunity to go to a concert, it's usually the front row is the one you want. Or if you go to a restaurant, where do you sit? Some places, the closer you are to the chef, the better the seat is. Or if you go to a movie, where do you sit? or if you go to a sports game, what seat do you want? Do you want courtside, or do you want the far balcony where you can't really see the action? Even today, where you sit matters. And so Jesus, in this parable that he offers up to those who are invited to this dinner, are receiving some good information. Even from a very practical standpoint, the idea is where you sit matters. You don't want to take the seat of honor. Jesus says that if you take the seat of honor, you run the risk of the host coming up to you and saying, I'm going to have to ask you to move. I'm going to have to ask you to leave. And so Jesus says that to avoid that, you take a place that's lowest. So that way when the person who's hosting it comes to you and says, no, my friend, you need to move up higher. And he says that when that happens, you will be honored in the presence of all who are at the table with you. Now, when Jesus gives his messages, when he gives his advice, there's two ways of looking at it. First, you could look at it from the very physical standpoint, that this is some really good advice. That if you go somewhere, if you go to a barbecue, if you go to a wedding, if you go to a friend's house, take a place of less honor. Because when your host comes and tells you to move up, it lets you know they value you. It lets you know that they want you to be where the action is. But there's another way of looking at it. And this is a spiritual application. What does it mean to take a seat of humility? What does it mean to sit in the lowest place, as Jesus says in verse 10? And fortunately for us, in the book of Luke, Luke gives us two concrete examples of the spiritual application of this point. If you're with me in the book of Luke, if you'll go just four chapters further in Luke chapter 18. In Luke chapter 18, following the life of Jesus, following Jesus on his ministry, we find him in Luke chapter 18 in verse 35, drawing near the city of Jericho. And in Luke chapter 18, in verse 35, as he is drawing near to the city of Jericho, there is a blind man who's sitting by the roadside begging. And it says in verse 36, and hearing a crowd going by, he inquired what this meant. And they told him, in verse 37, that Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And he cries out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And those who were in front rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And Luke tells us in Luke chapter 18 and verse 40 that Jesus stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And he said, "Lord, let me receive my sight." And Jesus said to him, "Recover your sight. Your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him, glorifying God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God. Then here in Luke chapter 18, we're introduced to a man who Mark tells us is named Bartimaeus. And he's a beggar. And he's blind. And where is he sitting? He's sitting by the roadside. I don't know if there is a more humbling place to sit in the world than on the side of the road, in the dirt, begging. And yet here this man is, a person who is acquainted with the idea of relying on others for their needs. Here in the United States, we don't look too kindly on the idea of begging. We have the idea that you need to pull yourself up, do what you need to do to get things done. And yet sometimes in life, we might find ourselves in the predicament or in the position where we have nothing left but to beg. And that's where Bartimaeus was. And there he is sitting, begging. And a crowd comes by, and he wonders what's going on. They tell him it's Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. And so what does this person do? What does Bartimaeus do? But he cries out, "Have mercy on me." He may have heard the story of Jesus, heard the stories of his power, of his abilities. And so he cries out from that seat on the side of the road. Luke tells us in Luke chapter 18 and verse 39 that those who were in front of him rebuked him, telling him to be silent. But he cried out the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And so what did Jesus do to this person who is sitting humbly on the side of the road in faith? He stopped and commanded him to be brought to him. He said, "Friend, move up higher." And he was honored in the presence of all. They saw what Jesus did for him, and they glorified God because of it. Now, I know what you might be thinking. You might be thinking, well, it's easy for a blind beggar on the side of the road who is used to begging to be in a seat of humility. It's easy for a person who has nothing to seek Jesus. It's easy for a person who is without all of the benefits that this society can provide. It's easy for that type of person to be religious. It's easy for them to be humble because they have nothing else to lean on. And if we were left with just the story of blind Bartimaeus, you may have an argument. But you're not left with just that story. The very next story in Luke chapter 19, the very next verse, is following Jesus again in Jericho. But now, we're introduced to another man. His name is Zacchaeus. And listen as I read the story of this man in Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. He entered Jericho, talking about Jesus, and he was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed into the sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." And so he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. If you go on in verses 7 through 10, you realize that there was some grumbling going on. But let's go back to verse 2. You see, whereas we were talking about the blind Bartimaeus begging on the side of the road, here we're introduced to a very wealthy man. He was a chief tax collector. And if you wondered how tax collectors are viewed back then, think of how tax collectors are viewed today, and you've got a pretty good assessment of the love that society had for those who collected taxes. And yet there was something that Zacchaeus and the blind man had in common. They wanted to see Jesus. But it tells us in verse 3 that with Zacchaeus, the crowd was so big, and he was so small and so short, he couldn't. And so what did he do? He wasn't on the side of the road begging, but instead, this wealthy individual, this disliked individual, ran ahead and climbed a tree. I don't know about you, but if there was a person I disliked, if there was an individual that I wanted to ridicule, I think that watching them in their short stature try to shimmy up a tree, I could use that for a while to make fun of them. And yet Zacchaeus was willing to deal with whatever ridicule could be received so that he could see Jesus. And so when he climbs up this tree and sits on that branch so he can see Jesus, what did the host say to him in verse 5? He looks up and says, "Come down, for I must stay at your house today." He said, "Friend, move up higher." And sure enough, Zacchaeus was honored in the presence of all who were there that day. And I remember reading these stories together and thinking to myself the idea of, well, where am I sitting? Am I sitting in a place of humility that's willing to accept Jesus? Am I willing to stay at that point where I will humble myself in sight of his glory, and that I will be willing to beg, and I am willing to climb a tree, I'm willing to do anything that might face ridicule of this world so that I might have a right relationship with him? And I think that's a good point to ask ourselves. Where are you sitting? Are you sitting in a place of humility? Are you sitting in a place where you're willing to hear and to see and to listen and to do what he calls us to do? But then I had a deeper question. And the deeper question was this, is that if you go back to Luke chapter 14, the idea was is that if you go to a place and you are invited, that you take the lowest seat so that the person who is hosting it, that they will tell you where you sit to show you the value they have for you. That if you go to a wedding and you take the lowly seat, the family of the groom or the family of the bride comes to you and says, "No, my friend, you sit with us." And I wonder, where does Jesus sit? Where does he sit in my life? I have want Jesus in my life, but where does he sit? Because the reality is that Jesus is humble. He says, "I am meek and lowly." In Philippians chapter 2, in verses 5 through 7, it says that he humbled himself. He came to this earth, he lived and died. And so the idea is that we have an invitation of inviting Jesus into our life. But where does he sit? Does he get the place of honor? You see, when I thought about it from that standpoint, I realized that it wasn't simply a place of me sitting in a place of humility, but it was Jesus sitting in a place of honor. Because I know that there have been points in my life where Jesus did not receive the respect that he is due. That sometimes a person will say to Jesus, "Here, come into my life, Jesus, but you need to stay in the living room. You need to stay on the couch. Don't go into the kitchen. Don't go into the bedroom. Don't go into the bathroom. Don't go into those other places, Jesus, because that's not where you reign. That's not where you deserve. You stay out here in the front." Still others say, "Jesus, why don't you just stay in the window so people passing by can see you and I can still live my life on my own terms?" When I ask myself, where does Jesus sit in my life? I don't know about you, but it hit closer to home. Because if you're the type of person that gives yourself to sin, then what you're saying is, "Jesus, you don't sit there right now, but my sin does. You take the lower seat. You let my pride take the place of honor. You see, Jesus is humble. Jesus is meek. He's going to let you decide what seat you think he's worthy of. But he knows which seat he's worthy of. He knows what seat he gave up. And he knows what seat he will receive. But he wants us to know that. He wants us to give him the place of honor. He says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but it's the person who does the will of his Father. He says in John 15, 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Jesus wants us to give him the place of honor. He's not going to take it. He's not going to wrestle us for it. He's not going to beat us down for it, but he wants us to demonstrate to this world his honor in our life. You see, where he sits matters. And so you're listening to this lesson this evening, and I hope you're asking yourself the same question. Where does Jesus sit in my life? Where does he rest himself? Because we live in a world where there's a lot of pride, where a lot of hearts are closed off, not willing to give the seat to whom it's due. But maybe you're thinking to yourself that Jesus does belong in that throne. Jesus does belong in that place of honor. And so you're wondering, how do I give him that seat? In the book of Acts in chapter 2, there was a group of Jews who were gathering in Jerusalem, and they heard a sermon by Peter. And he tells them that the Jesus that we're talking about this evening is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that they had crucified him. And in Acts chapter 2, in verse 36, he says, you crucified him. And it says in verse 37 that when they heard this, they were cut to their heart, and they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, what shall we do? They were cut to the heart. They were knocked down on the floor. They were there in the dirt, begging. And Peter says to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He tells them what they had to do. Give Jesus his place of honor and humble yourselves to repent and to be baptized. In Acts in chapter 8, there's another story of another person sitting down. And this one is a story about a eunuch who's on his way back home. And Philip comes to him. And it's interesting the way it's written in the book of Acts in chapter 35. It says that Philip opened his mouth when he is answering a question to this eunuch. And it says that he began at the scripture and he told him the good news about Jesus. The King James says he preached to him Jesus. And you ask yourself, well, what does that mean to preach Jesus? It's to preach that he has a place of honor. It's to preach that you have to believe in the Lord Jesus. But it's also, as the eunuch says, to hear about baptism. In Acts chapter 8, verse 36, as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" That preaching of Jesus involves the belief in Jesus, a change in your life as they did, to realize that you need to give him his place of honor, and all of the things that you have done, you've got to change your life in light of him. The Bible calls that repentance. In Romans 10:10, it says you've got to confess with your mouth, and then you've got to be baptized. You've got to be immersed in water and be reborn, as Paul describes in Romans chapter 6. And in so doing, you are a new creation. And now, not only is Christ in his throne, but you are in his church. He tells you, when you have that seat of humility and recognize him for who he is, he says, "Friend, rise up." And he adds you to his church. He adds you to his body, that one body we read about in Ephesians chapter 4. And so I ask you, if you're listening, where does Jesus sit in your life? Are you giving him his honor and his due? And the way you can do that, if you're not affiliated with the church, is humbly submit yourself to his truth and his word. There are avenues and opportunities and congregations this world over of the Lord's people that you can reach out to. Programs like this that you can contact if you don't have access to. But I urge you to make the decision to give up your seat for him. To be humble and let him exalt you. I pray you can take this lesson and learn from it and apply it. Thank you very much.